Well, come here to me. One thing I was going to say to you there, didn't really fit it into the interview, but you kind of just touched on it there when I was saying I saw a lot of influence or a lot of relationship between Irish folk music and reggae. Like, man, it goes real deep. Like, you know, in Ireland, there's the Irish language that's distinct from English, the English language. It's not even related to English. Like in Jamaican Patois, in their dialect, they use Irish Gaelic words, and in their act, the melody of their accent is very similar to certain Irish accents and stuff. And you know, there's a deep relationship between it, and I've traced it. Like it goes way back to slavery and the British bringing slaves from Africa and what they called indentured workers from Ireland. Like if you go, I was in the Caribbean, and like if you, like all the people are called like. There's reggae artists called like Jimmy Riley and Pat Kelly and stuff, and it's well connected. Like, and Buju Banton is like, he's actually in prison now in America, but until he was put in prison, he was probably the biggest reggae artist in the world. But he's got a song called Circumstances, and like if you heard his voice, he's one of these like he sings with a real gruff like dance lyrics, but. One of his songs is "Circumstances made me what I am. Was I born a violent man? Circumstances made me what I am, and everyone should understand." Like it's pure Irish melody, you know.
Nice. You know what? You just gave me an idea. I'm gonna, you know, I know we touched on it in the interview, but I'm gonna write about this in the article. If that's cool with you, like, I mean, to, like, elaborate on it, because another thing is too is that made me think of something else. There's Irish folk and American folk and blues because of the roots traced back to the 19th century.
Well, sure. If you listen to bluegrass is basically Irish music. Like, I mean, some of it's very hard to tell the difference. Like, say the fiddle work or the violin work in bluegrass music. It's the exact same as Irish Ceilidh music. You know, it's exactly the same. You know, there's huge links there.
Well, that's because the Irish settled the Appalachian Mountains.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's there's all these sort of links with music that if you trace it, I love tracing it all back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if that's cool with you, I'm going to integrate that into the print part of the article then. I'll quote you because I'm still actually the studio gear is still on, so I'm actually still recording this, so I can use this as notes. So you know, but yeah, I'll quote you on that.
Use my acapella as well if you can edit it in or whatever. You know, you can work with whatever you have there. You know.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, like, I love stuff like that, you know, with like, you know, history and, you know, in particular music and arts history.
Yeah, me too.
So, but yeah, I mean, Irish music has had, like, is probably the unsung hero of American music because, I mean, you know, literally, from what I remember reading about, especially like the history of New York and Boston, at one point in the 19th century, there were more Irish in America than there were in Ireland.
Oh, well, sure, even until today, I mean, I can't give you an exact figure, but you can look it up online. The people around the world, whether they're in England, Australia, America, or wherever, that consider themselves Irish, like if you ask them what their like ethnicity is, they'd say they're Irish. I mean, there's less than 4 million people in Ireland, but there's, you know, 60 million people who consider themselves Irish in the diaspora, so to speak, you know. Like we had massive emigration, like, and like the Irish famine. I mean, there was something like 12 million people in Ireland during the Irish famine, and after it, like down to starvation, people dying, or mass emigration to America mainly and Australia. It dwindled to 3 million. So 9 million people either died or emigrated in the space of like 5 years or something, you know.
Yeah, and then another issue you could say was late, like roughly the 1870s through the 1890s, the United States opened up the West.
Yeah,
you know, so they were literally telling the rest of the world, if you can come here, you can have land here.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And I mean,
well, a similar thing more recently happened in Australia. Like my father's side of the family, like they're a big Irish Catholic family. There was 8 of them. And like all of them went out, well, not all of them, but the loads of them went out to Australia. A whole generation in the 60s, they were basically given out free tickets to populate Australia. Like they just wanted to fill the place up. So they're basically given free tickets to Irish people to go out there and work as laborers and whatever, as with craft or whatever. So, yeah, so a whole generation of people in the 60s went out to Australia and still going on. I mean, loads of Ireland has had a massive economic slump recently, and so many of my friends including myself, I'm in England, and lots of my friends are in Australia, and Irish people have a long history of emigration and globetrotting, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I've never been to Ireland. I've been to the UK, but I've always wanted to go to Ireland. I mean, it looks beautiful. I mean, just the land and the people and, you know, the art. I mean, I get into architecture too, and the architecture just looks gorgeous.
Well, I would recommend if you go to Ireland, I'd stay on the West Coast. Well, obviously see as much as you can. It depends on how long you're there for. But like if you're only there for a week or a few days or something, I just skip Dublin. Dublin, well, I grew up very near Dublin, so I'm very fond of it for that reason. But objectively speaking, Dublin is just another big city. And in fact, it's quite English in terms of architecture. Lots of Georgian architecture and stuff. And it's just a big city. It's not particularly pretty. If you want to see like postcard Ireland, beautiful Ireland, the whole West Coast from the northwest in Donegal right down the West Coast and down to the southwest, that whole West Coast is some of the most stunning places you'll see. If the weather's, it rains an awful lot in Ireland, but if you get good weather in Ireland, it's paradise basically.